Well, we are in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We are continuing our mini-series, Living a Fruitful Christian Life. Verses 22 and 23 read this way: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This morning we reached the midpoint. We are on number 5 of 9. And as such, I wanted to take a moment for us to look back and to examine why we went to this place, why we picked this scripture. I know that all scripture is useful for teaching and training, but why did we go here? In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks to this church, the church in Corinth, and he challenges them to examine themselves, to take a sober look at their lives, and to see if the lives that they are living are lives that are marked as lives that are transformed. Are they still clinging and living to their pagan nature? Or are they living a new life that is signified by the fruits of the Holy Spirit? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail to meet the test." Paul's challenge to the church in Corinth is as relevant today here to the church in Hinckley as it was to the church in Corinth when Paul wrote that letter. We need to be challenging ourselves. We need to be looking at ourselves in a sober way to understand, are we really living out that which we proclaim? That can be a hard thing. Sometimes what we find is not what we want to hear. We see that the way we are living is not a reflection of what we should be doing. So sometimes we put off the self-examination. We would rather just continue on, resting on the understanding that we have assurance of salvation, and forgetting about the need to be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you realize that when Christ came, when God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, He didn't send Him just to save you from eternal punishment. He didn't just come to keep you from going to hell. Yes, He did that. But He came bearing more than just salvation from eternal punishment. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this: "I came that they may have life, and they may have it abundantly." Jesus' words to you: "I come so that you can have life, abundant life, fruitful life, life that is marked with love, with joy, with peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control," all of those things. Those are the marks of an abundant life. Those are what Jesus brings to you now. Yes, we don't manifest them in their fullness during our beginning of our life and even maybe to the end of our life. But it is something that we can only do when we put ourselves in Christ. That is the only way that we can bring these fruits forward. We can't struggle to do them ourselves. We must ask the Holy Spirit to come in, to examine our heart, and to remove any hindrances to the abundant life that God has called us to. I will leave it to you. Are you examining your life? Are you willing to open yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, check my heart. What are the things that hinder me from living an abundant life?" Well, having said that, let us turn our attention to the 5th of the 9 fruits of the Spirit: kindness. Kindness. kind of a squishy word. You know, it's one of those words that we use and we couldn't really put a definition on it. I looked in the internet and I found a definition. Here's what it said. Kindness, the state or quality of being kind. Wow. That is really, really helpful. You know, when you define it in the same way that the other word, I mean, kind is just kind of one of those words that, you know, it covers a whole bunch of things. Webster defines kindness as this, of a sympathetic, forbearing, gentle, and pleasant nature. That's a little bit better. But the reality is, if we want to understand what kindness is, kindness, as Paul is writing in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, then we don't look to Webster, and we don't look to the internet, but we look to the Word of God. We look to the Old Testament and the New Testament. Two separate books, but in a unified book that we call the Bible. For that is where God shows us what kindness is and demonstrates to us what it means to be kind. There are two words. There is the Old Testament word, hesed, which means to treat courteously or appropriately. And then there is the New Testament word, christasis, useful, pleasant, and gracious. A pastor by the name of Jim Westervelt, I won't take credit for it, but Jim did this. He said, let's mash them together. And he said, kindness is caring enough about others that we treat them with gentleness, graciousness, and generosity. When we look at the pages of Scripture, when we look to see illustrations of kindness, the best place that we can see for believers to understand kindness is the kindness that is manifested through God. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we find God speaking through his prophet, Hosea. And this is what he says. When I was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went astray. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and bringing burning offerings to idols. Yet I, who taught Ephraim to walk, I took them by their arms that they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. It is God, the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the man, the individual who created through his mighty power the world in which we live. He took a handful of dust and he blew into it, creating man in his image, an honor and a privilege that is bestowed upon no other creature, that talks about his kindness and his love for his creation. But the picture we see God as a loving parent, a parent that is grabbing his child by the arm, and we've all been there as we watched our child take those initial steps, and they wondered and they tottered a little bit, but we held on to them. It was the holding and helping them to take those initial steps. That's what we see in God. That he treats us like toddlers, that he lifts us up and takes us by the arm, watching us to walk, encouraging us to take those steps, just like we encouraged our own children. And you younger people, you will do the same at some time with your own children. And he took great delight in watching over his children walk. But that's not the whole story. Because he says here that they turned and they all went astray. The more he reached out to them in love, the more they went astray, each to his own way. God could demand our obedience. He could demand our love. But that's not how he wants to be loved. And that is not the obedience he seeks of us. He seeks our obedience as people who love and honor him. He draws us through his kindness, through his bands of love. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, 8 and 9, we read about the beginning of life on this thing we call earth. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, when God created it, he said it is very good. Very good. There was nothing more to be done. If there had been more to be done, then God would have done it. But he finished it and he said, it is very good. And then he put man in the middle of it. He provided everything that we needed. He only denied us one thing: eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't deny us the tree of life. But it was like we were like toddlers. And the one thing that we were denied was the one thing that drew us. We decided that we knew better than what God had said, even though he would walk with us and hold us in the arms and teach us how to be his children. We determined that we wanted to be God, that we no longer needed to listen to what God had to say. We think about the fall. But do you see the kindness of God manifested in the story of the fall? Do you? Let me point it out to you. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God, in his kindness, we look at it and we think it's our punishment. It is our punishment. But in our kindness, in his kindness, he also knew that if we stayed in the garden, that we would eat of the tree of life. And then in our sinful nature, we would live forever in that broken state of sinners separated from their Creator. So he takes us and drives us out of the garden. It's his loving kindness that removes us so that we can then later taste the salvation. Later we know. In the book of Revelation, it says that we are able to eat of the tree of life when we are with him in heaven. He doesn't deny it to us until we are to a point where we can do it without the stain of sin damaging our lives. God seeks to draw us, to display his kindness to us, even in the face of our rebellion. For that is what the Bible is. It's a story of a loving and kind God and a rebellious people. Hosea in verse 28, and Hosea speaks there at the end in verse 4 about the easing of the yoke. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and how the people came to him and said, if you will ease the yoke. And he didn't ease the yoke. He increased the yoke. But we find another time that the yoke is spoken of, and that is in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And that's Jesus who speaks of the yoke. The yoke that is put on animals to help to guide them. And what does he say? He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's not hard to follow Jesus. When we take his yoke upon ourselves, when we stop trying to put ourselves forward, but we allow Jesus to be the master, we find his yoke is light. There are some other verses I would point out to you that speak to the kindness of God towards man. Let me give these to you. The first is Ephesians 2:7. You're all familiar with 2, 8, and 9, but listen to what it says. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God's kindness is manifested to us through Christ Jesus. And in Titus 3:4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared. What is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ. He is the goodness of God manifest for us to see. God in love manifests his kindness to man in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is neither the heavy yoke nor the harsh bands. He is the easy yoke, and he is the bands of love. We see Jesus manifest kindness throughout his ministry. Let me share with you a couple of passages. The first one is Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He felt kindness. There was compassion for them, something that caused him to act. Matthew 14:14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 20:34. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight. He healed. He healed. He did physical healings to show his compassion. But his greatest act of compassion wasn't the physical healings. No. You know what his greatest act of compassion was? It was to heal the rift between us and God. To go to the cross to become sin because he was not sin, but to take our sins upon him and to heal that which separates us from our Creator. That is his kindness to us. The healing that we need most. We may think about the physical manifestations that we would love to see healing done in the lives of ourselves or maybe our loved ones. But the greatest thing that we can pray for, the greatest thing that we can see, is the spiritual healing. The spiritual healing. Because without the spiritual healing, there is something at the end of this story. And that is separation for eternity from God. Not just going to a place that's a time out, but to be spent in hell. We don't like to talk about it, but Jesus does. We like to paint it softly. We don't want to scare people. I had a good friend pass away this week, Bert Schultze. Got fine memories of Bert. He's been sick for the last couple of years. I talked to his wife. You know what Pat said? She said, we know the journey is coming to an end, but we know we will see him in the future because he has put his faith in Jesus Christ. And that day, when Bert breathed his last, he went to be with the Savior. And we will see him. I will see him again. Because of the kindness of God, Bert's story didn't end with a trip to eternal separation from God. He went to be in heaven with him. And it's a kindness that God is willing to display to any and all who will call upon his Son, Jesus Christ. Any and all. We are called to be his people. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus replied to him, "Philip, have I been with you so long that you do not know that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father?" When we look at Jesus, when we see what is recorded about him in the pages of Holy Scripture, we are seeing God's manifestation of his kindness to man. We are called to be people of kindness. That's why God gave us the spirits, the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness. Because it's not something that comes to us naturally. It's something that is given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the parable, in Matthew 18, 25 through 23 through 35, we have the parable of the unforgiving servant. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, and said, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave his debt, a debt that he was never capable of paying. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So that his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I have forgiven you a debt that because you have pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, this master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." We always talk about the forgiveness aspect of this. There's also the kindness aspect. The kindness. The master did not have to forgive the debt. He forgave it out of his kindness. And out of the kindness that was given to him, the servant should have shown kindness to the servant that owed him. I can tell you, me, I have been forgiven a great debt. A debt that I could not repay, no matter what I did. It doesn't matter if I preached 1,000 sermons or 10,000 sermons. It doesn't pay the debt. There's only one way that debt is paid, and that's through Jesus Christ. And since I have been forgiven, I'm called to be a forgiver. Since I have tasted the kindness of God, I am to give that kindness to others. Do I always succeed? No, I don't. And when I do fail, and I will, I try to seek forgiveness. I try to seek restoration. That's what we're called to do. Not always easy. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be people. We are to expect about kindness. Ever been to a high school reunion? I went to one. I was just thinking about this the other day. It was my 20th class reunion. Many, many, many moons have passed since then. Yes, many pages have fallen off the calendar. You know, one of the things we always do is we try to portray this understanding that we're kind people. You meet somebody and you say, "Hey, how you doing today?" You know, we really don't care. Let's be honest. We don't care. Most of the time it's just to kind of go, you know, I don't want to buy you and go, "Oh, don't want to talk to you today." So we say, "How are you doing today?" And we don't really want to hear you say anything but "fine." That's it. We want to just get your nod, get you to say "fine," and then we'll keep on moving. We'll all do okay, right? At my class reunion, You know, there's those people you want to see, and there's those people that, you know, that you didn't really know when you were in high school, and that you really don't care to see them again. It doesn't matter how long. I had one of them, and I knew her pretty well, but I mean, you know, she wasn't one of the people that was like, oh, I gotta see her. I gotta talk to her, see what's been going on. And I saw her, and I said, how are you doing? Oh, she was tricky. You know what she said? Do you really care? Well, that stopped me dead in my tracks. What was I supposed to say? No, not really. I was just trying to put on the veneer of being kind, but I'm actually very rude, and I really don't care how you are. That maybe was what was going through my head, but it was like, oh, man, what do I do? And I said, yeah, I do. I do care. And, you know, we went and we found a place to sit down. We spent about 25, 30 minutes talking. And she shared with me the struggles about how her life had been those last 20 years, about the personal pains, about the victories, about the losing of her brother through drugs, all kinds of things. I couldn't do anything about it but sit and listen to her. But sometimes that is the kindness that we give, is the ability to sit and listen. So often we think that we need to do something to be good. Sometimes it's just a matter of exhibiting the kindness of listening. People will come to Christ not so much through the doctrine that you teach them, but through the kindness that you show them. I want to close with this, John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. All the things that we will try will be nothing but vain attempts if we are not abiding in Christ. Because our sinful nature will always push those things of our own volition to the front. The only way that we can be fruitful as Christians is to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Spend more time with Jesus Christ. It says your first love. Do you remember when you fell in love for the first time and how much you wanted to spend time with your first love? I do. Spend that time with Jesus. Jesus should be your first love. He should be your only love. When you love Jesus to the way he should be loved, when he is first in your heart, then you have the power to love others. Late last week, I celebrated 43 years of marriage to Sue. And I said that it was the second best decision that I had ever made. I said that for a purpose because it is, and Sue knows this. But I got a text message from my sisters asking me, did I really say that Sue was the second best decision that I had ever made? What did I mean by that? Was sent by my niece out in California. And so I had the opportunity to share with my sisters and my niece the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other love. I cannot love my wife as I desire to love my wife apart from my love for Jesus Christ. I cannot love this church apart from my love of Jesus Christ. try as you may, you will not be able to love as you desire to love, as God calls you to love, unless God is on the throne of your heart. Only then, only when we abide in Christ, only then can we love. Only then can we have joy. Only then can we have patience and peace and loving kindness and goodness and all the other fruits of the Spirit. Only then can we live the fruitful, abundant life that Christ calls us to live. The Greek word, Christasis, kindness. There's another word that's very similar to it, Christos, Christ. In the early days, people would hear it, and they would get it confused. They didn't understand where people, the followers of this man called Christ, are they followers of kindness? I think it's the same thing. Christ is kindness. Are we followers of kindness? Are we followers of Christ? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you. And Father, we are still animals, we are still creatures that stray away. Sometimes, Lord, we just don't stop running. We just keep on going. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that loves, that has compassion on us, has kindness to us. And we thank you that you showed that kindness to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to restore not just the physical health, but the spiritual health that comes through a relationship with you. Lord, I just pray for those who may not know you. I pray, Lord, that you would touch their heart, that you would be with them, Lord, and that you would draw them to you through your bands of loving kindness. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayer? Oh, there you are. Good enough.
Well, good morning to you. As we turn our attention towards prayer this morning, I was just thinking about a couple things this morning and reflecting even as we were sitting here. And I know it's sometimes difficult. I just found it difficult, or maybe a challenge is the word, to be able to worship and to sing, you know, with the constraints that we have. But rather than focusing on that, I thought what a vital importance we have of our worship team. Because even though I may not be able to sing as I would like to, I can sing and worship God vicariously through them, in a sense. And God gifts the church with all the necessary gifts, the body of Christ with all the necessary gifts to be able to carry on ministry. And so as I think about that again, I'm so thankful for our worship team, and I just ask that you would pray for them as they continue to navigate through these times, and also for our pastor as well, that we would just uplift him in prayer especially as well, you know, because it's things that none of us have ever gone through before. So just keep those in your prayers as well. A couple other things that we have listed this week. Just last night, I got a note, or we did, from Deb Kreschel, and she's got another infusion dealing with the just preventative from the cancer that she had. And so we just asked prayer for her for this next week. Every time she gets one of those infusions, it's a difficult thing to go through. But really, she didn't focus on that. What she really spent the bulk of her time talking about was the praise that she had dealing with her daughter Amanda. And you know, we prayed for Amanda last week, and she was scheduled kind of really rapidly to go in for some surgery because they strongly suspected cancer in her body. And when she went in this week, all the tests, what there was, it was all benign. So there was no cancer there. So it's like, wow. So That was a great request or a praise on the part of Deb that she wanted to share with the family, church family here. So thank you all for praying and continue to pray for Amanda's recovery as well. A couple other things that we have listed. We, again, pray for those that are having ongoing, continuing health issues that we've listed. The fall programming that's coming up, continue to pray for that. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for your goodness to us, and we thank you for the blessings of life. And Lord, and as we look around us, we can easily become discouraged, and we think of the difficulties of life, and we lose sight of the blessings that you give to us. And so, Lord, this morning we want this morning to worship you. We worship you in song. We worship you through the reading of your word. We worship you through the exhortation of your word. We worship you this morning through serving one another. Lord, this morning we want to lift up these prayer requests to you. Lord, we think about those that are still facing health challenges. I think about Don and also Jack and Lee and just the ongoing health concerns that they would have. Lord, we ask that you would continue to intervene on their behalf. Lord, that you would give them healing. Lord, as well, I think about this past week, your healing that you have provided to Amanda. And just, again, I am so thankful for you being the healer and for this recovery that she is having. So, Lord, again, as we think about fall ministries coming up and even this joint VBS this next week, Lord, I just pray that hearts would be touched, that lives would be challenged and directed towards a relationship with you. Lord, that's where we find true peace in life. And Lord, may we as well this morning be challenged by the thought of what is kindness and what that looks like as a member of the body of Christ, that we may exhibit that fruit in our lives and that may be a fruit that is exhibited here in our body, in this church. Lord, again, thank you for this time. May this week ahead of us be one in which that we can reflect and say, Lord, you indeed have been and you are continuing to be good to us. Lord, thank you again for this morning. In Jesus' name. You are Lord of my heart.
And I long to